yeah, before I get into the word, can we just like worship the Lord just a bit more? And then like we can get right into the word of God, you know? How many of you know that Jesus is so good? That although like I was just like sitting down then, I was thinking like, you know, all of us sitting down here in our lives, we have many people are going through things that that we don't know about. Some of you are sitting down here and you're singing like, God is good, like God is good all the time. But then inside your heart, like you're thinking like, is like God, like, are you really that good? Because like if you're good, and then why is this happening? Some of you are saying like, God, you're so faithful. But Lord, I don't see your faithfulness in my life at all. And Lord, you know, I love you so much. I'm here to worship you. But my heart is just at the door, God. Like, you know, I just believe like some of us, like we enter here like with a lot of things. We're a lot of things. But then, like, you know, when the ushers greet you and say, hey, brother, how are you? My brother, I'm so good. I've never been this better. You know, my life is amazing. But inside, you're just crying like a baby, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm not sure if many of you, like, you know, when you hear, like a lot of people will say this, you know, when you come to church, just leave your problems at the door. And then you come into church. How many of you have heard that? Can I see a raise your hand, please? Right? A lot of you, right? Leave your problem at the door, sister, and then just come and worship the Lord. And then, like, when I go out, do I take my problems and go home or what? Like, you know, the thing is, like, we have lived a life where we have to be fake before God. That means before you come to church, you have to make sure you put powder, foundation, you look really good, and then you step into church. Because we as leaders, sometimes we are afraid to deal with problems. So that's why we say, be on your good behavior when you're in church. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes it doesn't tally, like shout to the Lord, all the earth, right? Whatever, but Lord, I'm screaming inside. Because I don't see your goodness. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you who are sitting here and going through that. Whether you need breakthrough in your finance, I think a lot of people need breakthrough in finance. Whether you need breakthrough in family, whether you need, you've been praying for many, many years for your brother or for your relatives, for your parents to get saved, but you're not just seeing it yet. But you know, in the beautiful thing about Jesus is he's so loving, he's so kind. When you cry like a baby, he still embraces you. You know, and he still loves you. And you're like, God, you're so, I don't know whether you're true and all. I don't know whether you're real. But the Lord still looks you in the eyes and says, I love you, my child. I love you, my child. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Everything is made beautiful in its time, not in our time. So sometimes we don't understand because we are calculating the situation according to our time. Lord, Lord, I think it's time. Lord, someone else got the breakthrough. I think it's time that I get. And we are like, you are playing God over God. But the Lord is saying, be patient, my child. Everything is made beautiful in its time. There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. So today, if you're sitting down here so discouraged, like, I just want to encourage you. Everything will get better. You know, I don't have it all together. Church, I may be the most imperfect person standing up here or being in this room right now. I don't have it all together. All right, but he's got you. He's got everything together. That's our hope. That's our faith. That's where we put our faith in, that God's got everything together. Even if in the book of Timothy it says, even if you are unfaithful, my God will still remain faithful to you because he will not deny himself. That's the true nature of God, that he is so faithful to you, brother. He's so faithful to you. And he's faithful to your family. That's the nature of God. And he loves you, and today he's here. He's here right now. He's here right now. And I just want to encourage you that even if it doesn't seem like it's working out, I just want you to worship and praise the Lord. Worship and praise, because that's what I'm getting towards. That's what I'm preaching today, to worship the Lord. That there is power in worship. There's power in worship. And worship, let me try to clear your understanding. Worship is not songs. Worship is not standing for 30 minutes, lifting your hands, and then sitting down and waiting for the word. Your worship should be a lifestyle. A lifestyle. I'm sure you've heard it a million times. Worship should be a lifestyle. No, for me, it's the other way around. Lifestyle to be a worship. What does that mean? Worship should be a lifestyle, right? They say worship is a lifestyle. I'm going a bit deep, right? Worship is a lifestyle. That means prayer can be a lifestyle as well. This one can be a lifestyle. But no, for me, it's my lifestyle is a worship. That's it. My lifestyle should be a worship unto the Lord. In every aspect of my life, my lifestyle should be a worship and an honor and praise unto the God Almighty. So today He's calling you deeper right now. With all of your broken hurts, today I want you to go back to that door and take all of that broken hurts that you're left at the door and sit down here. Because that's what the Lord wants to see. The beautiful news about the Bible is not that God came down, you know, God from earth, pulled you from earth, brought you into the room and started loving you. No. The beautiful news of the Bible is God in all of His glory, in all of His honor, in all of His majesty, stepped into earth to confront your brokenness. That's the good news of the Bible. So He's not asking you to come without your imperfections. He says, come as you are. Come as you are with all of your brokenness. You know, God is sitting on the throne. God is sitting on the throne and in your brokenness, right, doesn't freak Him out. He doesn't fall off the throne looking, oh my God, this guy can do this kind of things. Oh my God. No, He doesn't freak out. You know, God loves you and God loves your brokenness as well. He loves you, but in all of His majesty, He stepped down and took the lowest of forms, being human like you and I, to confront our brokenness and to die on the cross for that same brokenness that you are carrying today. So today, bring all your brokenness and sit down before the Lord. He's here to heal you. He's here to confront that. That's the love of the Almighty God that we serve. Amen. Amen, church. Don't get too serious. I know I can get a bit serious. Let me drink some water. You all can drink also. All right. How many of you want to hear a joke before we go? Right. I told this joke the first time I preached in church, right? I told it on Sunday crowd. So I'm not sure if you guys have heard. So I'll just tell you, okay? How many of you know about the joke about the horse? Don't know, right? I tell you, y'all will laugh. All right. Okay. So there's this man called Billy, right? So Billy is a Christian and, you know, he owns a farm and he's a very devout Christian. But every Sunday, all right, he has to walk very far just to go to church. So he has to walk miles and miles just to go from his farm to go to church. So it was getting very tiring. So he said, you know what? I'm going to buy a horse. So he went to the horse farm, whatever, wherever you get your horses, right? Maybe at City Square, maybe. So he went to a horse farm, and he said, sir, I need a horse because every Sunday I've been walking, my legs really hurt. I think it's easier to travel with the horse to church. Then the shopkeeper said, my God, what an amazing, exceptional timing that you have come here because there's just one Christian horse that just came yesterday. Wait, church, the joke punchline haven't come. You all are laughing. Wait first. So there's just a Christian horse at the back that just came. So Billy was so excited. Billy was like, oh my God, yes, that's great. So they went to see the horse. Then they saw the horse. All right, the horse name is Moses, all right? Okay, so he said, oh, this is a very good horse, very cheap. He's a very obedient horse. But he only listens to two words. So, oh, then he said two words. Then he said, so when you get on the horse, if you want him to go, you must say, praise the Lord. Then he said, oh, praise the Lord. That's easy. Then he said, if I want him to stop, just say amen. So he said, oh, simple. Then the shopkeeper said, you want to take Moses on a test drive? Then he said, yeah, sure, sure. So he got on the horse and he said, praise the Lord. And Moses started moving slowly. So he said, why? Very slow, huh? So he said, praise the Lord again. So Moses started moving more. And then he kept saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Moses started running. And he was running. And he was enjoying it. Suddenly, look, it's the edge of a cliff. edge of a cliff, and he's going towards his death, and he was like, oh my God, like, oh my God, what was the word to say? Stop. Then he said, Lord, Lord, please help me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. He said, amen. Right at the edge of the cliff, Moses stopped. Then he saw and he said, oh, praise the Lord. That's a good one, right, guys? Shall we have a minute of silence for Billy? That's just a joke. Just a joke, right? Coming back to this, Moses the horse, huh? Right. Yeah, if you have your Bibles today, let's get into the Word of God. Oh, I just feel His presence right now so strongly. How many of you can feel that? Right, you just feel like He's just here and He's also laughing to my jokes. You know, Jesus loves you so much. He laughs to your jokes. Do you think He's a serious person and He's just like, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? Not seriousness. If you find the fruit of the Spirit is serious, tear that Bible away. You know, because it's joy. He loves you so much and He adores you. He adores you. Crystal and I just adopted a puppy, you know, just 1 week ago. And oh my God, she's my joy right now. You know, her name is Patches because she has patches all around her. She's very small. She can't grow big, you know. She's a Pomeranian. And let me tell you, she does notorious things. Like she poops everywhere except for the pee pad which I put for her. I don't know why. But the thing is, I adore her. That even when she does this kind of thing, I can't scold her. I just love her, you know. I just love her. And in the same way, I was thinking, Lord, if I can love this dog so much, right? How much more you can love this human being? Right? How much more you can love me? Like, how much more you adore me? How much more you think that I'm cute, Lord? That when I say something and it's funny, my God also laughs. I'm like, oh my God, I created this guy. You know, He loves me and He loves you as well. And so that's why I want to talk about worship, all right? So we look at Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 2. All right, verse 2. And so here's Joshua leading the people into the promised land. And they come to the walls of Jericho. All right, they come to the walls of Jericho. And we're going to read what happens, all right? And it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. All right, let's go verse 1. Verse 1. Verse 1, all right? Okay, so listen to the story and then we'll get really deep into it. Now, listen to this. Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. So the people in Jericho heard about the Israelites coming to take their land. So what they did is they shut up the whole of Jericho. They had like a lockdown, all right? Not COVID-19, Israel 19. Like they had a whole lockdown like this. And because they knew that the sons of God, the children of God was coming. So they shut it completely, all right? This may look like your promise right now. This may look like your breakthrough right now, that you're standing right in front of your breakthrough and everything is sealed shut. But here's what God says in the next verse. All right? Okay, so church, answer me. Where is Israelites right now? Are they in Jericho or outside? Outside, right? Outside. Okay? And then the Lord, in all of His glory, all of His might, He says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty man of valor. If I were Joshua, I'll be like, I'm serving a mad God. Because I'm standing out of my promise, which is the promised land, the Jericho, and it's sealed shut. There's no way to go in. But here comes God and says, I have given it to you already. I have given it to you. Think about the finished work of Jesus. The finished work of Christ. All right, but the promise is right in front of Him and everything is sealed shut. Some of us are going through that right now. That the Lord is saying, you know, just worship me and I'll give this to you. But you're standing right in front of your promise and it's sealed all around shut. Okay, and then we go to the next verse. And then God commands Joshua to do this. And He says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. Verse 4, And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But on the seventh day, you shall march around the city. How many times? Seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. Verse 5. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the people shall go up, every man straight, with a great shout, then the walls of the city will fall down flat. All right? So here are the Israelites ready to fight with their swords, and Jesus says, worship me. Here are the Israelites standing in front of their promise, sealed shut, nothing before them. It's just a huge wall. Jesus said, worship me. Do you know the walls of Jericho, people can stay inside? That's how thick the walls were. If you don't believe me, for it, like go and study. The walls were very thick. So it takes a lot. That time they did not have like bazooka, nuclear bombs like that. Maybe they had sling and a stone, you know, whatever it is. It's thick walls right before him, right before them. And the Lord says, instead of warring, instead of going into war, I want you to worship me. And Joshua is like, man, what mess did I get into? Because like here I am ready to fight, but the Lord is saying, worship me. March around the city six times. So you see, Sister Anita, the people of Jericho were going crazy, right? Oh my God, the Israelites is coming. And then suddenly they open their window and they see like crazy people. They are walking around the city like that. And they're like, what are they doing? Right? People don't understand. People don't understand. But the Lord said, just worship me. Point number one, people will not understand your worship before the Lord. You can be all in a mess, but when you come and worship the Lord, people will be like, oh my God, this guy's going through this and then he's still worshiping the Lord. Nah, people would not understand. And so six times, they are marching around. And it's a process. It's a process of like people will be ridiculing them. Imagine the walls of the people in Jericho will be opening up their windows. Are you stupid? You guys are so dumb. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You know, we have guns, guys. We have this, we have that. Y'all what? Trumpets? What are you going to do? Blow us away? These guys must be thinking, oh my God. And God is sitting up there like, talk some more. Talk. And the Israelites must be thinking, what we should have just stayed in Egypt, like at least got bread there. With a few whips at the back, but then at least got bread there, right? You know? And they start marching around, and on the seventh day, what does seven mean? Perfection. Completion. And on the seventh day, God says, march around seven times. And they go seven times. And the Lord says, lift up a shout of praise, church. Lift up a shout of praise. And they start going crazy. And those people looking at the window, suddenly their window starts falling down. Their walls start falling down. And the whole city of Jericho breaks. The walls just come tumbling down. And all the Israelites had to do was just walk into the promise. It's been many years. It's been days. And they have come out of Egypt. And they stand right at their promise. But it's sealed shut. And instead of fighting, the Lord says, just worship. I will fight for you. I will fight for you. So today, if you're looking for your breakthrough and your promise, and it's not there yet, let me tell you, just worship the Lord. I know it sounds crazy, church. That's what the Israelites felt. But the Lord is saying, if you are faithful to worship, I am faithful to fight for you. I am faithful to open up the windows, the doors, the walls of your breakthrough that are sealed shut. That's what the Lord said. So He's so powerful. Worship is a powerful tool that the Lord Almighty gave to you. The only reason that God created Adam and Eve was not for anything but to have fellowship with the one Creator. That's all. That's all God wanted to do. Imagine this, the creator of heaven and earth just wants to speak with you. All he wants to do is to worship him. That's how powerful it is. That's how powerful worship was. Right? That's how powerful. And so the Israelites are learning now. They are learning about worship because just a couple of chapters ago before, in the previous book, you know what happened? The Israelites, Moses is leading them out, and the Lord calls Moses to go up to the Mount Sinai, and he goes up, and then while he's coming down, and he hears a sound of worship. He hears the sound of worship, but it's a different kind of worship, and he's like, this doesn't sound like the worship we give our Almighty God. He comes down, and he sees the Israelites worshiping the golden calf, and he's so upset. He's like, God, these guys are hopeless. And he's so upset, but he sees, you know, there are 12 tribes of Israel, but he counts and there are only 11 tribes worshiping the golden calf. I'm not saying go and read your Bibles. 11 tribes. And he's like, where's one more tribe? And do you know what Moses said in Exodus chapter 32 verse 26, you know, while they are worshiping? And he gets so angry, Moses said, whoever is for our Lord, come with me and we shall go. Do you know which tribe steps out of that whole ruckus? It was the tribe of Levites. The Levites stepped out and said, we are with you. We are not worshiping this false idol. And because they knew the essence of worship, the importance of worship, who are the only ones who are allowed to carry the Ark of the Covenant? It was the Levites. It was the Levites. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they stood firm in worshiping their God. Because they stood firm knowing that even there's a golden calf that's being built right in front of me, that I'm so tempted to worship, but I will stay true to my God. That's why the Lord said, you are allowed to touch the Ark of the Covenant which carries my presence. So do you understand how important is your worship before God? Worship brings breakthrough, church. I didn't say it, the Bible says it. Whatever the Bible says shall come to pass in Jesus' name. That's the promise of our God. If you have not seen it come to pass, don't worry, there is still time. It will come. Everything is made beautiful in its time. But all you have to do while God is working behind the scenes, He wants you to worship. He wants you to worship. And so that's how the Israelites knew there is power in worship. All they had to do, no one, not even one life needed to be lost. You know, in war, people die. People die in the opposite side. People die in our side. But not even one life had to be lost. All they had to do is just worship the Lord, the God that brought them out from Egypt. And everything was taken care of. That's the power of worship as you're sitting down here today. So right now, I want you to think. Remember, I told you, don't leave your things at the back there. Don't leave all your baggages. I want you to take time to think about those right now. Think about those. Think about what you are struggling with. Right now, just go for it. Just get scared. Like, God, oh my God, I'm in debt right now. Next month, I need to pay for this. I don't have this. Oh Lord, you know, my relative is dying, but then she hasn't heard the gospel. Whatever it is that grips your heart, grips the heart of Jesus as well. So I want you to think about it right now. And in a while, in a couple of minutes later, we're going to start worshiping. Worship is your breakthrough, church. Worship is your breakthrough. I'll just give you 30 seconds. Just think about it. I'm also thinking about it. Like God, like, oh man, this freaks me out. It's so powerful. It's so powerful to worship the Lord. And then from the Old Testament, let's jump into the New Testament. You know, if you can, turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 16. We're going to look at another two fellas who were worshiping the Lord in the greatest disappointment. If I was in their place, it would be the greatest disappointment. Right? Acts chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 16. Church, I encourage you next time, bring your Bibles as well, not only your phones. You know, it's quite cool, you know. You know, bring your Bibles as well and, you know, take notes, highlight. You know, it's amazing. All right. So here's a backstory. 16:16. Can I have it on the screen? And it says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer." Who is we? This is Paul and Silas talking. Paul and Silas are good friends. They're worshiping the Lord. They're carrying the gospel to everywhere. And they come to a place, right? They come to a place, and suddenly, you know, there's this slave girl who was possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Right? So they are spreading the gospel, and here is one girl who keeps following them. And she's like possessed. She's possessed with a demonic spirit of divination, and she's like giving like fortune telling, and she's getting much profit for her masters, all right? And the next verse. So this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Church, is this good or bad? I mean, it sounds good, right? Like free publicity, why not just take it, right? That time, no Instagram. Maybe word of mouth was the main thing, right? So like free publicity. Next verse. "And she did this for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed." I've never seen anyone get annoyed in the Bible. Paul is the first one. Greatly, he must be thinking, oh my God, she won't leave us. Like, oh, she is getting so angry, right? Because like she's barking at his ears. And turned around and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of..." Not Buddha. No. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Next verse. "But when the masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities." All right, and then it goes on to say, it's basically what the story is. These masters brought Paul and Silas before the court, and they were arrested and put into jail. Put into jail, not in the highest palace. No, they were put into jail. Right now, again, I'm going to ask you, church. Paul and Silas have been serving God faithfully, correct? Yes or no? Yes. So for people who serve God faithfully, what do we expect? They must be in good, best place. They must be, their life must be great. Like how, you know, some of us walk in church. "Brother, how are you?" "I'm great, brother. I'm great, I tell you." Are you sure, brother? "Brother, don't ask me that. Let's not go there. I'm great. Let's just stop there." You know, some of us, you know, leaders, right? "Brother, how are you?" And he say he's good. Then we are like, oh, okay, thank God. If we say, "Brother, how are you?" "Brother, actually, I'm going through this." We will freak out, actually. I'll be like, I didn't think we would get here, actually. You know? So right now they are placed in the prison. You know, they are placed in prison. And Paul and Silas, if I were in their shoe, I'll be thinking, "God, I served you. God, I did this. Lord, every single Sunday I'm on the stage, Lord. Every single prayer altar, whether people come or not, I'm always there. God, whether I like it or not, I'm doing this. Lord, every single Sunday, I'm the one serving the curry for the people, Lord. But how come I'm here in this place? How come, like, I'm serving you, I'm doing all that you want me to do, but I'm still in not the best place?" God never said being in the will of God will be the safest place. No, God never said that. Because if it was... Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat? He asked, "God, if it's your will, ask me to come." And the Lord said, "Come." And he stepped out of the boat. Seconds later, he's drowning. And he must be thinking, I said to this man, if it's his will for me to come, and is this his will right now? I'm dying right now. So God didn't say that being in the will of God is the safest place to be. God said it's the best place to be. It's the wisest place to be. It's not the safest, okay? It may be rocky because God didn't say when you accept Jesus, all your problems will go away. That is some MLM things, all right? All right, it's not Jesus, okay? I tell you, brother, you get 3 more people under you, no more problem already. Next year, you see my car, Mercedes Benz? Next year, you can get that. You know, no, Jesus, he did not sell some MLM ideas, all right? And so here is Paul and Silas sitting down. And we go to the next verse. I'm so excited, all right? What did church, are you getting something today? All right, is this good? You all want me to go home right now? Okay, God bless you. Okay, verse 25. All right, verse 25. Look at this. Beautiful. When I get to heaven, I want to meet Paul and Silas. All right? It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So they were having a concert, you know, in their jail cell. Lord, I give you my heart. The other prisoners, yeah, you know, they were going crazy. So maybe, you know, their hair long, right? Head bang. Give you my soul. Even though they don't understand, you know. And they are worshipping. And the other prisoners were listening. Oh, not bad, this song. Wow. You know, and then so I was reading and I was thinking other prisoners, right? So I was thinking, what can the other prisoners be in prison for? Shout it out, anything. Murder? Yep. These guys must be killers. We have murderers, we have rapists, we have arsonists, I don't know what that means. Violence. We can have all kinds of crazy people in there. Correct or not? And they are hearing, Lord, I give you my heart. And Paul and Silas are just worshiping before the Lord. And then go on to the next verse. Don't take it out of the screen, yeah? And suddenly, everyone says, suddenly. Tiba-tiba. 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 How to say in Tamil? I so forgot. Suddenly, right? Suddenly, the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's chain was loosed. All right? And the keeper of the prison awakening from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, took out his sword, and he was about to kill himself. Next verse. Then Paul said with a loud voice, do yourself no harm. We are all still here. All right? I want you to focus on the verse, right? I want you to focus on the verse 26. So they are worshiping. And immediately all the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. Church, what are the closed doors in your life? Think about your problems again. It's such a closed door. Today, all you have to do is sit and worship the Lord. And all the doors were open. The doors, you see, your breakthrough lies in your worship towards your Father. That's your breakthrough. All right? But it doesn't stop there. Your worship doesn't stop there. All right? While I'm standing beside this sister in Sunday service and I'm clapping hands and worshiping the Lord, look at the next sentence. All the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. So it wasn't just Paul and Silas' chains were loose. Whose chains was loose? The murderers, the rapists, the arsonists, the whatever, all kinds of different mixture of people who were in the prison, all of their chains were loosed as well. So your worship in that equation, your worship not only brings breakthrough for yourself, when you stand behind the sister and you're worshiping, your worship brings breakthrough for her as well. I'm not saying that. The Bible is saying that. Does that blow your mind, church? So you see how powerful your worship is? Do you see how? So your worship, you're like, God, I need breakthrough. But you're worshiping and you're getting the breakthrough. And this guy is getting set free right now. And beside you're like, oh my God, what's happening? It's because of your worship. It's because of your intimacy with the Lord, this guy is setting free. It's because of your intimacy with the Lord, this guy is in financial debts, and supernaturally, all his debts are being paid off. Why can't God do that? God can do anything. And so do you realize how powerful your worship is? Worship is not just a personal factor, it's a whole congregation, church. When we lift up our voice right here, when we lift up our hands, the guy at the front who's worshiping here, at the back, the person is receiving his breakthrough right over there. That's how powerful when the church of God comes together to worship Him. But we don't know. We don't know. It's not our fault. Because our whole life, we have been taught that worship is just 20 minutes before the Word of God. We cannot blame anyone. That's how we grew up. Like, I grew up as that as well. But today, God is calling us back to the heart of worship. Because right now, church, your worship will bring breakthrough in your life. If you're standing right at the door and the door is not opening up, God in all of His glory, power and strength is able to open doors in your life that the enemy can't close, and close the doors in your life that the enemy can't open anymore. That's the power of God. And that's the power of worship. Because when you worship, there are open heavens among you. There is a connection, like a Wi-Fi connection with heaven. So wherever you walk, that's why the sister behind me is getting my breakthrough. Because I'm standing right beside her and worshiping. There's an open heaven that's flowing on me that overflows upon her as well. But we don't know this. We don't know this. That's why today God is bringing the church back to the heart of worship. God is raising the awareness of the open heaven that every single one of you carries. Because the body heals the body, church. When you get a cut, a small cut, what happens? A few days later, you know, the blood clots and it heals. The body heals the body. The Lord says, the Bible says, when I'm a sinner, come to another friend of mine, another brother, and confess my sins, the Lord is faithful to forgive both of us. So you see how much your worship carries the breakthrough for every single one, not only you. Our whole life we think it's only for us. Lord, I worship you, right? I go home, I better see, like, you know, like a new car in front of my house. That's not worship, that's conditional worship. Lord, I worship 30 minutes, 30 minutes. No, 30 minutes a lot. Lord, 30 minutes, new car. 40 minutes, new car, bike some more. You know, that's what we think. It's conditional. But have you ever tried going into your room, shutting the door, and just sitting down there, not even opening your mouth? That is a worship as well. Your whole being is a worship, church. Your whole being. Every breath that you take, Tabitha, is a demonstration of the grace of God. The next breath you take is the demonstration of the grace of God, that in all of His glory, He came down, went on the cross, died, so that you can keep breathing right now. So it's worship. You take a breath right now. All of you are taking breaths right now. It's a worship unto the Lord. The Lord is like, my God, I love these people. I love these people. So that's how powerful your worship is, church. That's how powerful. This is not a promotion for you guys to join the worship team. No. No promotion, okay? The church, the worship team didn't give me 50 ringgit, you know, to say like this. But can also, if you all want. 5 sign up, 1 sign up, 50 ringgit. No, this is some MLM thing. No. Okay? No, understand. Because this stage, right, is just a higher platform. It's just a higher platform. This stage is not a stage, it's an altar. It's an altar. So when I stand here and worship in the Lord, I'm not worshiping for anyone. I'm saying, Lord, this is an altar. There's no sacrifice on it. So I'm getting on top of the altar as a sacrifice for you. How many of you can do the same thing there as well? There's an altar as well. So today, church, can we stand up to our feet today? You know, we're going to close. So today I want to invite you, worship the Lord. It's not a hype. It's not like, let's go crazy, yeah. No, it's just worshiping Him. Brother, I don't know how to worship. It's okay, I also don't know, church. It's okay, I also don't know how to worship. Worship is just coming before the Lord, that's it. Just come before the Lord. That's it. It involves singing songs. Singing songs is just a part of worship, not worship itself. It's just part of worship. It involves being honest in your workplace. Being the one with the integrity in your workplace. It involves being a light unto others. That's a form of worship. In the book of Matthew, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father who's in heaven. So when you worship, when people see, there's such something different about this person, they're glorifying the Father who's in heaven. Amen, church. Right, we're just going to go in a couple of like minutes of worship. Then we're going to worship the Lord in communion. And then we can go home, okay? And eat. Amen? Y'all excited to eat? Y'all want to invite me also, can? No problem. Amen? Did you guys get something today? He adores your worship, church. Let me tell you. You think that you're adoring Jesus in worship. It's true. But He adores you even more. He's madly in love with you. So if a father who's madly in love with his children, do you think He will just let the children suffer? No. No, He has a good plan. Jeremiah 29:11. He has a good plan. No matter what, even if you don't see it, church, He has a good plan for you. Right? So if you can't just close your eyes and just lift your hands today. Before we sing, right? Before we sing, just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here to worship, Lord. Softly, like how a husband will tell his wife how much he loves her, like how a wife will tell her, I love you so much. Can you today like pour your affection on Jesus today and say, Lord, I love you. Yes, some of you begin to smile. Some of you begin to smile right now because like God is smiling. That's why He's upon you right now. Yeah, just tell the Lord, Lord, I worship you.
And I just want you, Jesus. I just want you.
That bridge right now. Come on, declare.
There is no greater love than yours.
Come on, you sing, church.
Nothing else could ever compare. And even if I search all the
Jesus,
I I just want you. We just want you, Lord. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you, my Lord. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you.
Jesus, Jesus. Right now, the Lord is ministering to you right now. Come on, bring forth all your burdens towards Him. Some of you may be tearing right now, crying right now. I feel the Lord clearly say, my child, I don't know who's this for. My child, I know you're overwhelmed. I know you're overwhelmed. But right now, just give me that. And I'm giving you joy in exchange. I'm giving you peace that surpasses all understanding. Just let the Lord minister right now to you right now. My child, I know that you're overwhelmed, but give me that. And I'm giving you peace and joy in exchange. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Lord keeps talking about finance. I think many of us here, you need breakthrough in your finance. The Lord is saying, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day. You don't have to lift your hands or whatever. Just receive from the Lord. Just tell, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive that breakthrough of finance, Lord. That's right, He's giving you. Thank you, Father. Lord is restoring relationship of husband and wives here. Husband and wives. Some of you have not said, I love you to each other in years. The Lord's coming upon you right now. And the Lord is saying, remember your covenant that I am keeping. The Lord's keeping your covenant. Receive. Husband and wife, you can hold the hands of your spouse right now. Hold the hand of your spouse. That's right, the Lord's renewing covenant today. Lord's renewing the covenant right now. Jesus. He's healing families today. He's healing families today. Young people, the Lord is turning your hearts towards your parents. Some of you are standing here so bitter towards your parents. The Lord is saying, forgive them. Forgive your parents, even if it's the hardest. Forgive them right now. There is such that forgiveness, it's a powerful worship unto the Lord as well. Today the Lord is saying, forgive your parents. Forgive your parents. I see some of you, child, that you have been abused. Maybe not by your parents, but maybe a close relative, when you were young. As you see, maybe you were abused, maybe physically, sexually, whatever, verbally. But the Lord is saying, release. The Lord is saying, it's valid. Your hurt is valid. But today is the day of freedom. Release it right now into my hands. Release it right now. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
Come on, sing, I just want you.
I just want you.
Father, we just want you, God.
Nothing else, oh Lord.
Nothing else will do, Lord Jesus.
Nothing else.
Nothing else, Jesus.
Nothing else, God, will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else,
Jesus.
Nothing else will do.
Come on, sing it. Come on, church. Can we just get ready our communions right now?
Nothing else.
Yeah, just get your communions. Get it ready.
Nothing else.
If any of you don't have a communion, can you just lift your hands right now?
Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
I just want you.
I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
We just worship you, Father. Father, bless this communion, God. Jesus, we are here for you, Lord. We are here for you, God. We remember that you died on the cross for us. We remember the finished work of Jesus, Lord. That by your stripes we have been healed. Because you died on the cross, God, we can enter into the fullness that you have for us. Into the will that you have for us, God. Give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Just before we go on, anyone does not have a communion? Can you raise your hands, please? Okay, I think everyone has, right? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading from verse 23. And it says, you know, just right before Jesus, when he went on the cross, he was gathered together with his disciples, with his family, right? And then on the same night, you know, he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. And he said to the disciples, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the body of Jesus, there is healing for you, church. Bible says in Isaiah 53 that by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. The punishment of our peace was put upon him. So today, as you eat this bread, receive the healing God has for you, the breakthrough the Lord has for you. Any physical disease that you have, receive the healing of the Lord. Let's eat this bread together as one family. And in the same manner, Jesus took the cup. And when he had given thanks as well, he said, this cup signifies the new covenant in my blood. And as often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Today, the blood of Jesus is able to heal and deliver you. In the book of Revelation, it says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Today, whatever you're going through, church, take this cup and receive your breakthrough right now. Let's drink this cup together. I want you to put your cups down. All right, just take 5 more minutes and just worship the Lord. If you can, lift your hands all across this place.
I just want you. Nothing else.
Come on, if you can, speak in the spirit right now. Every one of you, we're going to speak in the spirit right now. That's right. Right, everyone. That's right. That's right. Lift your voice. Let a sound of a generation come forth from this place. That's right, press in. Press in, that's right, in the name of Jesus. Where there needs to be healing, let there be healing, Lord. Where there needs to be breakthrough, I speak breakthrough right now. Where there needs to be finance, Lord, we open the treasury of heaven and we pull out the finance for your people, oh God. That's right, they will be the head and not the tail. They will be the first and not the last, God. Jesus. Everywhere let there be promotion in the name of Jesus. Where there needs to be healing right now, receive your healing, church. Receive your healing right now. Lord's able to heal. Where there needs to be breakthrough in any aspect of your life, receive your breakthrough right now. Those of you looking for a new job, receive that new job. The new job will come looking for you right now. That's right. Young people, you do not have money to go and further your studies. The Lord is able to provide right now. Just ask from the Lord. Ask from the Lord. Ask for supernatural paying off of debts right now. Jesus' name. Those of you who want to buy a new car, ask it from the Lord. Ask from the Lord. Ask for open doors. Jesus. Those of you who need new clients, ask from the Lord. Ask from the Lord. Shakanana, this is your time to ask, church. There's no better place than this to ask from the Lord. Those of you asking for a baby, come on, ask from the Lord today. Ask from the Lord, Jesus. Come on, two more minutes. Just keep asking from the Lord. The Lord is here with gifts. The Lord is here with gifts. Ask a gift from the Lord today. The Lord is here with gifts. Receive the trees. Receive. Yes, Lord. More, Lord. More. Jesus' name. The Lord is setting you free. Every demon needs to leave right now in Jesus' name. Every heart condition, you need to leave right now in Jesus' name. Every addiction, you need to leave right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Even if we are unfaithful, you always remain faithful. You will never deny yourself, God. So, Lord, we just bless your people in their coming in and in their going on. They shall be blessed. Yes. Every baggages, every burdens that they are carrying today, according to your word, we cast our cares to you. We cast our burdens for you, God, for you care for us, Lord. Bless your people, God. Even as they leave this place, Lord, let their relationship with you, God, go deeper like never before. Where there needs to be healing, I speak healing. Where there needs to be breakthrough, I speak breakthrough, God. Lord, Calvary Community Church will be known as a church that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, Father. Lord, we thank you for your breakthrough. We just surrender the rest of the time into your hands. Bless your people, God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Can we give glory to Jesus in this place? Amen. church, we did, the service is over. Any one of you who needs prayer, come in front. We are ready to pray for you. Keep worshiping the Lord, church. God bless you. God bless you.